The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Masechet Rosh Hashanah has been sponsored by Mr. Sawley and Cheryl Mizrahi. Hashem Aleihem Yihyu for the Hatzlacha of both of their families, for Be'ezat Hashem, health, happiness, Parnasa, continued success, and of course, much nachat and pleasure from their children. Yiratzon, in the zechut of their dedication to the Masechet Rosh Hashanah, they will be zoche for good judgment, they will be zoche for good beracha and mazal in all their endeavors. Amen.
Amen.
Today's daf has been dedicated in memory of Nuri ben Leah and Ze'ev ben Rachel, dedicated by Nuri Jaradeh.
Daf Chet. Today's daf has been dedicated by our dear friend, Haimi Dana Hashem Mishmino V'Hayehu, a member of our Daf Hayomi class, Lirfu'ah Shelema for Rachel Bat Mazal and Mazal Bat Esther. El na refana lahem, el na refana lahem, el na refana lahem. Fata nefesh u fata guf. Fuatam kerub ala bo v'chen yin asom en omar. Amen. Today's daf has been sponsored in memory of Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem, tanichenu began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Zayin Amud Bet. And we are four lines from the bottom. In our sugya, we are discussing the different Rashi Shanim. The Mishnah listed Arba'a Rashi Shanim him. So the Gemara at this point brought a Braita. The Braita showed us that there's actually two more. There's the Rosh Hashanah for the eating of Tevu'ah, which means on the second day of Pesach, 16th of Nisan, they brought the Korban HaOmer. That was a Rosh Hashanah in the sense that now it allowed us to eat from the new crop of wheat. Furthermore, on the 6th of Sivan, which we know is Shavuot, they brought a Korban called Shteh HaLechem, and that Korban allowed the new wheat to be used now in Korbanot. So until Shavuot, while you can eat from the new wheat, but you're not allowed to use the new wheat in Korbanot. You have to wait until the 6th of Sivan when they bring a Korban called Korban Shteh Lechem, and that allows now the new crop to be used in sacrifice. So those are two more dates. So the Gemara's question is, how come you don't list those two dates? So comes the Gemara now. The Gemara gave an answer. Now the Gemara is going to give another answer. Rav Shisha b'red Rav Idi Amar Ki kachashiv midi de lo tali b'ma'aseh. Our Mishnah is only listing Rosh Hashanahs that happen automatically, that are not dependent on an action. It means the day comes and automatically the year changes or the process begins by itself without having to do an action. However, midi detali b'maaseh lo kahashiv. But items that are dependent on an action, the Mishnah does not list, and therefore it's not going to list the 16th of Nisan as a Rosh Hashanah, because the wheat doesn't become automatically permissible just by the day. You have to bring the Korban HaOmer. The wheat doesn't become permissible for a Korban automatically on the 6th of Sivan. You have to bring Korban Shteh Alechem. So therefore, things that are dependent on an action, the Mishnah did not list. Because what do you mean? V'arei regalim midi detali b'maaseh v'kach hashiv. Kevras, one of the things in the Mishnah was regalim. That what? That on Pesach begins the Rosh Hashanah for regalim. That what? From that point on, you count three regalim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and then you're going to be over on Baal Te'acher. So he says, wait, I mean, that's talui l'maaseh. Because you can't be over on Baal Te'acher until they bring the morning Korban. Which means, what's Baal Te'acher? You delayed your Korban. But it's not just automatic. Once the third holiday passes, you're over. No, the Kohen has to bring the Korban Olat Tamid Shel Shahar, because you cannot bring your Korban until that happens. So therefore, this is also dependent on a Ma'aseh. Just like you're telling me that the Korban HaOmer is a Ma'aseh, so too also, this is a Ma'aseh as well. So therefore, how come, if you give me the rule that the Mishnah did not list things with Ma'aseh, how come I list the Regalim? So the Gemara gives an answer, which the Gemara gave previously in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Bal te'acher mimela hayil, which means the law of Bal te'acher happens automatically from the time that he made his neder, which means at the time that the person vowed, I am going to bring such and such a korban, so at that point over there, that's already when he's obligated to bring the korban, and the hayuv of, or the potential of Bal Ta'akhir now is on him. Which means, it's not dependent on the ma'aser. You thought that you're calculating it from the time that the Kohen now brings the Olat Tamid, that's when the hayuv is on him. No, the hayuv is on him well before that. The hayuv starts Mishikadesh Hayom, as she said, which is Mishikadesh Hayom is already from before the day, from the time that he made the neder. So it's not dependent on a ma'aser, it's dependent on his vow. Once he made the vow, being the hayuv is on him. Kabbalah says, Vare Yovlot. What do you mean? One of the Rosh Hashanahs was Yovel. Right? We said on Aleph Tishri, it's Rosh Hashanah for Yovel. Now, Yovel is the 50th year, the Jubilee year, they call that. And on that year, you blow the shofar, and it frees the slaves. And also, it has ramifications for fields. But the point is, it's not an automatic. It's got to be dependent on the blowing of the shofar. It's a ma'aseh. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Ishmael ben Osh, Rabbi Yohanan ben Berokahi. So now, we can say that our Mishnah has found the opinion of Rabbi Ishmael, like we also said previously in the Gemara, that he holds that the Yovel is on Rosh Hashanah. You don't have to wait until Kippur or to blow the shofar. It's automatic. Just once the night of Rosh Hashanah comes in, already the laws of Yovel start to kick in. So it's also not dependent on a maaseh. So that's that answer of the Gemara. And that's why we didn't list Tet Zayin Nisan and Vav Sivan, because those are certainly dependent on an action. Now comes the Gemara, gives another answer. But Rav Asher comes along and says, should I go to Bach, takes out the Vav. So we say, Rav Asher Amar, Arba'a Rashe Hashanim Hem, Shehen Be'arba'a Rashe Chodashim. He says like this, when it says there are four Rosh Hashanahs, no, the Mishnah is not listing four dates. The Mishnah is saying there are four Rosh Hashanahs that are in four different months of the year. So the Mishnah is really listing the different potential months that have in them Rosh Hashanahs. How? Look at the sheet, top line. Rav Asher Amar, Hay delo chashim manitin ela arba'a. We're only listing the Rosh Hashanahs that come in the beginning of the month on the Alephs. So there's four of those. Ve'en regalim in a minyan. Well, obviously regalim cannot be part of the minyan because regalim is Pesach. Regalim starts on the 15th of Nisan. Ela keda amrin regal sheba'ulach ilotani namer Rosh Hashanah de'omer v'shtei alechem. So therefore, basically the Mishnah is really saying there are four Rosh Hashanahs that come in the beginning of the month. And therefore, knock out the Galim, you can't count that one. You can't count Omer, you can't count Shtei Alechem. So you're just left with the, let's say the Aleph Nisan, that would be one. You're left with the Aleph Tishri, that would be one. You have the Aleph Elul, which would be for the Maaser. And you would have Aleph Shevat, which would be for Ilan. Now the Gemara asks the question, Aleph Shevat? Who's Aleph Shevat going like? That's going like Bet Shammai. So the Gemara asks the question, Be'echad B'Shevat Ke Bet Shammai? You're listing Aleph Shevat as one of the four. The Stam Mishnah is going like Bet Shammai? Which means, why would the Stam Mishnah take the opinion of Bet Shammai? We said that according to Bet Hillel, the Rosh Hashanah for the Ilan is on Tu B'Shevat, Ted Vav. So why would the Mishnah say there are four Rosh Hashanahs that come Birashei Chodashim? So one of the four is actually going to be Aleph Shvat, which is Shitat Bet Shammai. So give me a question. Are you going to go like Bet Shammai? Look at Rashi, fourth line. וparchinan imken behad b'shivat satam lan tana bereshak kibet shamay dihi kibet elel ha'amri betubo. So comes the Gemara and answers, "Hachi kamar shelosha ledevrei akol behad b'shivat machloket bet shamay bet elel." Really, it's saying is three of the dates is the devrei akol, which means everybody agrees to, and the fourth one is subject to a machloket bet shamay. Betelel. Now, how would you read that in the Mishnah? So Rashi tells you, Haki Kamar, Tana de Matnitin, Satam Beresha, Ehad Bishvat Berashesh Shanim. The first part of the Mishnah was Tam. Four Rashesh Shanim that come out on Rosh Chodesh. And one of them is Aleph Shevat. That's the Tam Mishnah. Ve'adar Parish Ve'azil Besefa. Then the end of the Mishnah comes and explains. Ve'had Bishvat Rosh Hashanah Le'iran Devrei Bet Shamay Le'memra, to teach me, to tell me. Ve'had Satam Beresha. That which we said in the Mishnah in the beginning. Arba Arash Shanim Beresh Chodashim La Devrei Akoli Ela Abet Shamay Ka'eh. Which means, yes, we were Stam, but then we were Mefaresh. So as if we said, there are four Rosh Hashanahs, and one of them is Aleph Shevat. Oh, but you should know, and we get to the end of the Mishnah, that which we said, the Aleph Shevat one, that's Talui B'Machloket. So we really, Bet Hillel holds that it is indeed Aleph. Bet Hillel says two B'Shvat, and therefore, as if the Mishnah is giving us that Machloket, that explanation. Now look at the next Rashi, Shilosha L'Devrei Akol, Lav Dafka. It's really not three Devrei Akol, because if you remember, there's another Machloket in the Mishnah, regarding when the Rosh Hashanah for Ma'asir is. Is the Rosh Hashanah for Ma'asir Be'ma Aleph Elul, or is it Aleph Tishri? So it says, De'ah Echad Be'elul Nameh Pinuktai, Rabbi Le'ezer Rabbi Shimon Omlin Be'ahad Be'Tishri. That's right. He said that Rabbi Le'ezer Rabbi Shimon hold that Ma'asir is Aleph Tishri, and the other Tarakama holds it's Aleph Elul. So therefore, you cannot say it's the Devrei Akol. The Gemara says, Ela Abet Elel Ka'e. It says, when we say the Devrei Akol, we're not discussing other rabbis. You know, there's other rabbis that have machlokot in the Mishnah. We're discussing the Devrei Akol means according to Bet Hillel. She's the only one out of the four that Bet Hillel argues on is Tu B'Shvat. But on the other three, Bet Hillel is in agreement. It's Devrei Akol, meaning between Bet Hillel and Bet Shabbai. We're only focusing on those two rabbis, what they hold, and not the other machlokot of the Mishnah. Okay, so that's basically another reason why we did not list Tetzayin Nisan and Vav Sivan, because it doesn't happen on the beginning of the month. Our Mishnah is only listing the Rosh Hashanahs that happen in the beginning on the first day of the month. Okay. So basically there was three answers to this question, by the way. The first answer was, we learned on yesterday's daf, that we only list Rosh Hashanahs that begin from the night, that the laws kick in from the night, from the beginning of the calendar day plus at night. But she'enken tet zayin nisan, the law of the Omer is the day.
Right.
The law of shtei lechem kicks in the day, so therefore we don't list it. Second answer of the Gemara: we're only listing items in the Mishnah that are not dependent on an action. Masha'enken, Omer, and Shtal Lechem. Third answer of the Gemara: we're only listing items that happen on the first day of the month. We're not listing Rosh Hashanahs that happen on any other day. And the Mishnah is really saying that there are four of those, and one of them is subject to a machloket between Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. Comes the Gemara and continues. Okay, now we discuss the law of Ma'asir Behema. So we said Machloket. According to Tanakama, the cutoff point is Aleph Elul. Which means what? Any animal that's born before Aleph Elul, the Ma'asir is taken from the year before. Any animal that's born after Aleph Elul, so that's considered already from the new flock. And if you have to take Ma'asir from the new flock on the new flock, and the old flock on the old flock. So you have to know exactly when the cutoff point is. So one rabbi said Aleph Elul, and one rabbi said Aleph Tishri. So now we really have to figure out what the source of this machloket is. Where do they get these arbitrary dates for the cutoff point for Ma'asir? So Gibran says, Amar Yohanan, Ushneim, Mikra, Echad Darshu. Both rabbis, the Tanakama, and the Bidhaiz and the Bishimon, are Doresh one Pasuk. That's where they get the shita from. Pasuk Tehillim she'ne'emar laveshu charim ason v'hamakim ya'atfu bar yitro'a'u af yashidu. Now the simple meaning of the pasuk is laveshu charim ason, which means the flock, that's karim, was dressed, laveshu, they were wearing, they were garbed, so to speak, in what? In son, in sheep. Which means this is a reference to when the animal is pregnant. That she says, Mikrau besifet tehilim, laveshu karim ason, pamakim ya'atfu bar yitro'af yashiru. Laveshu karim ason, mitlabeshot hakevasim. Which is they're wearing, they're dressed, which means when they're pregnant, it's like they have that extra fat on them. So it's like they're laden. Well, what are they laden with? With the baby inside of them. Shemit aberot, that they're pregnant. So it says, ya'atfu v'amakim ya'atfu bar. And the animals that are in the valley, ya'atfu bar, they will be, or the amakim, the valleys themselves are covered with bar. Bar is fodder. That would be like a hay and straw and stuff like that. Yitro'a'u af yashiru. They shout out, they even sing. Mm-hmm. Now, based on this pasuk, this is how we're going to learn when the hayuv of ma'asir is, when the cutoff point is. How? The Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Savar, Rabbi Meir says, Ematai laveshu karim ason, when is it that the sheep become pregnant? Bizman sha'amakim ya'atfu bar. At the time that there's fodder in the valleys, ve'matay amakim ya'atfu bar, and when is that? Be'adar mit'abberot, which means be'adar. In Adar, when you go to the fields, by Adar already, there's fodder in the fields. And the pasuk is telling us, when do the animals become pregnant? When what? Ve'amakim ya'atfu bar. The month of the year that you see that there's fodder in the fields. And when is that? The month of Adar. Now let's calculate. Be'adar, mitaberot be'adar. They get pregnant in Adar. Now how long does it take a sheep to give birth? And she says 5 months. So therefore, v'yuldot be'av. They give birth in Av. Rosh Hashanah shelahem elul. So therefore we're going to say the cutoff point for them is going to be what? The next month, Rosh Chodesh elul. So you got the calculation. They give birth, they get the mating season, we'll call it, is Adar. Right? 5 months later, they give birth. That's the new crowd. That's the new flock. That happens in Av. And then for the next month already, Aleph Elul becomes the cutoff point for Ma'asir. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, they say no. Ematai laveshu karim hason. When is the mating season that the animals become pregnant? Bizman shi yitro'a'u af yashiru. When the fields, so to speak, shout out and sing. Now, what is this a reference to? At a certain time of the year when the wheat stalks grow and the wind comes and they start blowing the stalks, they start to clank against each other. When the stalks are clanking against each other, it sounds like a singing sound. So therefore, they say, what time of the year does the wheat sing? So, Ematai Shibolim Omrot Shira, when do the stalks sing? Binisan. That's in Nisan already. So now the calculation is like this. Binisan, bitaberot, binisan. The mating season is in Nisan. The yoldot be'elul. 5 months later, they give birth. That's Elul. Rosh Hashanah shelahem tishri. And therefore, the Rosh Hashanah is going to be the next month, tishri. So that's the machlok. Do you go after va'amakim ya'atfu bar, or do you go after yitro'a'u af yashiru? The beginning of the pasuk, there's no argument. Everybody agrees, laveshu karim ason. Everybody agrees that the first part of the pasuk is about when the animals mate, when they get pregnant. The question is, when does that happen? So the first rabbi says what? It happens at the time of amakim ya'atfu bar. They get pregnant in Adar. The other rabbi says, no, they get pregnant during af yashiru, when they're singing. When is the shimolim singing? Nisan. So Gemara says, ve'idach nameh ha'ketiv yitro'ahu af yashiru. What does the other rabbi do with the fact that it says Yitro'ahu af yashiru? Right? Doesn't it say this pasuk over? You're telling me that it's an Adar. What do you mean? But it says Yitro'ahu af yashiru in the pasuk. It says, no, ha'u be'afilta. That's talking about the late ones. De'avyan binisan, which means the real mating season is an Adar. Mm. Yeah, you have the late ones that don't mate until Nisan. But the main is going to be in Adar. V'idach nameh ketiv v'amakim ya'atfubar. Oh, what does the other rabbi do with the fact that it's v'amakim ya'atfubar, which is mashma, it's Adar. Ha'u b'harfayata. That's talking about the early ones. De'atyan me'adar. So therefore, each rabbi will learn the other part of the pasuk is either the late mating season or the early mating season. Okay, so which means comes that we have a shitav Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says Ehad Elul. That's the time of Maaser. Why do you say Ehad Elul? Because the animals mate in Adar. Okay, they give birth in Av. Once they give birth in Av, already Elul becomes the cutoff point for Maaser. So he says, why Adar? Because that's the pasuk of Amakim Yat Fubar. That's when the father is in the field. Oh, but it says Yitro Haaf Yashiru. No, that's Nisan. No, that's the late ones. We're not going with the late ones. That's the minority. The minority of the made in Nisan. We're not going with the minority. Okay, good. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, they say it's Aleph Tishri. Why? They go Yitro Haaf Yashiru. They say when the storks are singing. When the storks are singing, mating season is Nisan. So they give birth in Elul. Give birth in Elul 5 months later. So Tishri becomes the Rosh Hashanah for them. So, but it says the Pasuk, V'amakim ya'atfu bar, Sebastian's Adar. No, that's the early ones. It's again the minority of the animals mate in Adar. And then we're not going with the minority, we're going with the majority. The Gemara says now, the reading of these Pesukim only makes sense according to Rabbi Meir. Why? Bishlam al Rabbi Meir, again he says it's Adar, correct? Kedichtiv, the Pasuk flows, Laveshu Karim Ason. That the animals become pregnant when Bisman Shamakim Ya'atfubar. At the time that there's fodder in the field, meaning in Adar. The Ikanameh, and there's also some animals, Yitra'af Yashiru, that they delay even until the time of the singing, which is in Nisan. So the Pasuk flows. It's giving you Adar first, and then it gives you Nisan, the later one. But according to Shimon, they say the primary mating season is when in Nisan. So the pasuk should say ibka mivayle. It should say the opposite. It should say la veshu karim asum bizman shiyitruav af yashiru. Should say at the time that the stalks are clanking against each other, that's Nisan. That's when they mate. And you should know also v'ikadameda amakim ya'atfubar. And there's also a minority of them that mate early in Adar. Right. So according to me, really, the pasuk is written out of order. It's telling me that the mating season is what? V'amakim ya'atfubar. That's not so according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. It's not in Adar. It really happens in Nisan. So therefore the pasuk doesn't flow according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, Ela amar avadi kula amala v'shukharim masom bizman sh'amakim ya'atfubar be'adar. Everybody says the mating season for animals is in Adar. And therefore they really give birth also in Av. So then what's the machloket? So what's the machloket? The machloket is in the following pasuk. Different pasuk, different subject. Aser te aser. Right? The Torah says, regarding giving you ma'aser of your dagan, it says a double language. Aser. Ta'asir. So the Gemara says, "Bishne ma'asot ha'ketubet ha'ber." It's referring to two different ma'asot. Ehad ma'asir behema, ehad ma'asir dagan. Oh, one is ma'asir behema, which we're talking about, giving the tenth animal, and one is ma'asir dagan, the regular 10% of the grain. Now, Rabbi Meir Sabah, Rabbi Meir says, "Makish ma'asir behema, the ma'asir dagan." The fact that the Torah puts them both together, asir ta'asir, it's comparing ma'asir behema to ma'asir dagan. Now, ma ma'asir dagan, just like by ma'asir dagan, samuch le gomro esuro, that when is the obligation of giving ma'asir? Samuch le gomro. The Rosh Hashanah for ma'asir is Tishri. Why is it Tishri? Because it takes the whole summer season for the wheat to dry. Once the grain dries, it's finished the process, then you give the ma'asir right away in Tishri. So this rabbi says, just like by Ma'asir Dagan, the Hayuv of Ma'asir is after the process is finished, so too we're going to say, Af Ma'asir Bema, Samuch Ligomro, Esuro. When it's finished, that's when you got to give the Ma'asir. When are the animals finished? Well, they give birth in Av. So when's they give birth in Av, so when is that? Next Rosh Chodesh would be Elul. So Samuch Ligomro, Esuro. Again. It's clear Ma'aser Dagan is on Aleph Tishri. That's the cutoff point. Where they get that? Because it's Samuch LeGomro. Let's say by Elul already, in the middle of Elul, that's when it's finished. What do you mean finished? They dry. From the whole heat of the summer, the sun dries it out. So that was Samuch LeGomro, Surah. So the same logic is going to apply by Maaser. Samuch l'gomro. When is gomro? Well, they get impregnated in Adar. They don't give birth until Av. So they're finished in Av. Samuch l'gomro. Besuro. Alif Elul. Rabbi Elazar Bishron Sabar. Makish Maaser be'mala Maaser Dagan. Yes. Maaser ta'aser. I also compare Maaser be'mata Maaser Dagan. But I make a perfect comparison, and I say like this: Ma maaser dagan rosh hashanah shelo tishri, haft maaser bema rosh hashanah shelo tishri. I say it's exactly like it, which is just like maaser dagan. When is it? Alef tishri. So to maaser bema is also alef tishri. So let's finish a straight hikesh, and therefore that's the source of the Gemara. Which means we go back to the Mishnah, and you read the Mishnah. Machlok Rabbi Meir. And it'll be then to be Shimon by Maaser Bema. Is it either Aleph Elul, or is it Aleph Tishri? Was it based on how far do you go in the comparison between Maaser Bema to Maaser Dagan? Do you say it's just in concept, meaning Samuch Legomro Esuro, that will bring you to Elul? Or do you say no, it's exactly like Maaser Dagan? Just like Maaser Dagan is Aleph Tishri, is the cutoff point, so to Maaser Bema is also Aleph Tishri. And that's the Shita of Rabbi Ezra Rabbi Shimon. Comes again and continues. Be'ahad B'Tishri, Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. Okay, on Aleph Tishri, that's when you start counting years. The years change in Aleph Tishri. It's because the Mayan Cheta. What's the nafkah mina? What do you mean years? Years for what? What's the halachic ramification? Amar papa l'shtarot. So you know the date your shtarot. You have to know it for the king, or you have to know the year. So the years change in Tishri. So comes the Gemara and says, "What are you talking about?" Oditnan shtare chov amukdamim pesulim. Like we learned earlier, a predated shtar is pasul. V'muharim kashirim, and a postdated shtar is kashir. Let's just review that quickly. A predated shtar is pasul because now it's going to put a lien on properties that were really sold before the loan, and therefore it's going to be taking properties that are not lawful. A postdated shtar is okay because it's to the disadvantage of the one that lent the money. Because really, he postdated it, he's not taking liens on property that was sold after the loan. He's postdating it, and therefore, since it's to the advantage or to the disadvantage of the lender, so therefore the shtar is cash. No, nobody put it this way. On a postdated shtar, no property could be taken unlawfully. If anything, he's not taking properties that he could have taken by putting it as a post-date. So therefore, you have to know when the year is. So therefore, in order to know exactly when you're writing the king's years, you have to know exactly Tishri. So the shtar doesn't become predated or post-dated. So the Gemara, what are you talking about? I thought we said that Rosh Hashanah for Melachim is the first of Nisan. We asked on that bet. What's the halakha? What's the purpose of that? The amar of chazda, the shtarot. So we know we have a cutoff already for shtarot. Alef Nisan. Now you tell me Alef Tishri. So the Gemara says, Lakashia, kan lemalchei Yisrael, kan lemalchei umot ha'olam. Depends. Jewish kings, it's Alef Nisan. The kings of the Goyim is Alef Tishri. Right. So therefore, it depends who you're counting. If you count, who's in power? Exactly. If you're counting Jewish kings, so you got to know that it's Alef Nisan is the years. And you have to, if it's going Goy kings, the non-Jewish kings, so you judge it from Alef Tishri. So the Gemara says, wait. Elahad Amar of Chizda. Rav Chizda made a comment on our Mishnah. Rav Chizda said like this, Lo shanu e'la lemelchei Yisrael, aval lemelchei umot ha'olam mitishrei maninan. On the Mishnah itself, when the Mishnah said, Aleph Nisan Rosh Hashanah Lemelachim. Okay? So Rav Chizda commented, oh, you should know when it says Rosh Hashanah Lemelachim, that's only Jewish kings. But non-Jewish kings is Tishri. So the Gemara asks, Rav Chizda Matnitin Atala Shmeinan? Wait, if the Mishnah Beferush then says that Aleph Tishri is Rosh Hashanah Lashanim, and we're interpreting that to mean for Melachim of non-Jews, so what Rav Chizda? You're coming to tell me something that the Mishnah says? Jeez, that jumped the gun. On Aleph Nisan, it says, Aleph Nisan, Rosh Hashanah, the Menachim. Right? So the Chazda comes along and says, oh, you should know that this Aleph Nisan for Menachim is only Jewish kings. But non-Jewish kings is Tishri. Hazak Baruch Hu, that's Mishnah. Wait, where do you jump the gun? The Mishnah says that. Doesn't the Mishnah say Aleph Tishri, the Shanim? And we're explaining Aleph Tishri, the Shanim means for Menachim Goyim. So what? If Chazda is coming to tell me what the Mishnah is telling me, Rav Chazda, Atah, coming to teach me what the Mishnah says? Rav Chazda's statement is unnecessary according to the way we're learning now. What does Aleph Tishri in the Mishnah mean? Aleph Tishri in the Shanim. What's the Pshat in the Gemara? The Shanim, the Malchei Umot Ha'olam, that's the way you date the Shtarot. So Rav Chazda, why'd you jump the gun in Aleph Nisan? You didn't have to say anything. Right. You should have just said, stay tuned, the Mishnah is going to tell you when Malchei Umot Ha'olam applies. Instead he jumped the gun, he said, you know, Aleph Nisan, that's only the Malchei Israel. But for Malchei Umot Ha'olam, Mitashrei Manina. That's like Baruch, and that's the next line in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no. Lo, Rav Chazda kira'e atal ashma'inan. Rav Chazda is coming to tell you the Hidushim in the Pesukim. Just if you remember on the Bet, on Dav Gimal, we had all the Pesukim proving me that by Malchei Umot Ha'olam, we go by Tishri. That was the whole story with Atashasta and the whole calculation with Nehemiah. So therefore all Rav Chazda was coming to tell me is what? That this can be substantiated in the Pesukim. That's his Hadush, not the Mishnah. Now we know it says Malchei Umot Ha'olam is Tishri. And his Hadush was all the different Pesukim that we were able to prove it from, like we learned above. V'ibayatema, or another interpretation. Rav Chazda kerabi zera matnila. He learns the Mishnah different of Chazda. When it says Aleph Tishri the Shanim, he doesn't learn that that's for kings. He learns the kings from an implication of Nisan. Nisan is Malchei Israel, but Malchei Umot Ha'olam is Tishri. Oh, but what does it mean when it says Aleph Tishri is Shanim? No, like Rabbi Zira. The Rabbi Zira Amar Litkufa. The Rabbi Zira holds that Aleph Tishri is the beginning of the Tikufa, which is when you start counting the seasons. So you have to know exactly, there's the different seasons of the moon and the sun. So when do you start making these calculations? So it starts from when? From the world was created. Okay. When was the world created? Tishri. So therefore it says, Aleph Tishri L'Shanim is when you're going to calculate the Tikufot, the seasons. So I will go through that calculation. Mm-hmm. When you go through the Tikufot, so you got to know you start from Tishri. So it's nothing to do with kings. So therefore you have to imply the king law from Aleph Nisan. It says that the world was actually created in Tishri. Therefore you start calculating the sun and the moon cycles from when they were created. Right. What is that? Tishri. Another answer. When it says Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishri is Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim, it really is referring to what? Din. Which means God judges
everything.
The years, which is what's going to happen to a person on the coming year, L'Shanim, it's on Aleph Tishri. So that's another interpretation of L'Shanim. Now how do you know that? Dichtiv, Mereshit Hashana, Adaharit Shana. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Mereshit Hashana, Nidon Mayeh Besofa. From the beginning of the year, it's judged what's going to be at the end. Mereshit Hashana, Adaharit Shana. That means what's going to happen at the end of the year is already judged from the beginning of the year. You can say it like that. Well, who told you when it says Mereshit Hashanah means it's Tishri? You know, Tishri actually is the seventh month. So therefore when it says Mereshit to the beginning of the year, how do you know that's Tishri? Tichtiv, Tik'u b'chode Shofar. It says, blow in the month the Shofar, b'keseh l'yom hagenu. In the month that has the holiday that is concealed. So the Gemara says, "Ezu Hag." Which holiday do we have? Shachodesh mitkasebo, that the moon is bikisui is concealed. Havi Omer Zero Shana, because all the holidays are usually on the 15th of the month. 15th of the month, the full moon, right? It's evident at all times. However, on Rosh Hashanah, even though it's Rosh Chodesh, so there is a moon. However, it's not concealed at all times. Which means in the morning, the moon cannot be seen in, which is close to the morning, the moon cannot be seen by certain people. Mm-hmm. And in the evening, the moon cannot be seen by certain people. Which means, even though it's out, there is a moon on Rosh Chodesh, but it's a tiny sliver. So therefore, and it cannot be visible from the different angles. So therefore it's considered the holiday of Kisui. Bekeseh Leyom Hagenu. Now, so therefore it says, and what do we do on that that day? Tikau b'chodesh Shofar. Blow the Shofar. Uchtiv. And what does it say? Kichok l'Yisrael hu. It's a set rule for Klal Yisrael on that day. Mishpat Elohei Yaakov. That what? That God is judging us. Mishpat. And therefore from all these pesukim you see what? That the day of judgment, the blowing of the Shofar, is done by Keseh. Which holiday is done by Keseh? Has to be Rosh Hashanah. And we know that that is a day of judgment. And therefore, when we go back and we say Mereshit HaShanah, the Harit Shanah, we know that must be Tishri, which is Rosh Hashanah. So back to the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says Aleph Tishri is Lashanim, it means the judgment of the years. And that's why the Fazdah learns like that. And that's why you have to learn the kings from Aleph Nisan. Aleph Nisan is from Malchei Yisrael, but Malchei Mot HaOlam is Tishri. Because it was not written in the Mishnah. And how do we know that? That's the time of judgment. So the Gemara says, because it says, Mereshit HaShana Vad Aharit Shana. Right, from the beginning of the year, what's going to be judged, and what's going to happen at the end of the year. So that the Gemara asks, how do you know that we're talking about Tishri? It's not because it's Tikkun B'chodesh Shofar, because Yom Hagenu. We know the judgment is on Tishri. That's the point. We know it's Tishri because that's when we're judged, because that's the month that we have Shofar, which is Bekeseh. That's when we're judged, and we know the holiday is Tishri. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan. Gichok l'Yisrael, the Gemara is going to give some derashot in this pasuk. Gichok l'Yisrael, who would say, set rule for Yisrael, Mishpat Elohei Yaakov, that is judgment by the God of Yaakov. Melamed, She'en bedin shel ma'ala, nichnasim ladin, ela imken kiddishu bedin shel mata et ha'chodesh. That the laws of Rosh Hashanah, meaning the judgment, does not get activated in Shamayim until Am Yisrael sanctifies the holiday. Kichok l'Yisrael. First it's got to start with Yisrael. They have to say Mikudash. They have to sanctify the Rosh Hashanah. Oh, once it's sanctified Bachok l'Yisrael, then Mishpat Elohei Yaakov. Then the judgment begins. So that's one explanation of the Pasuk. Betin. Betin sanctifies Rosh Chodesh. Mikudash, Mikudash, Mikudash. Once they accept the witnesses, they come to Betin, like we learned, that they come and Betin has to interrogate them, etc. And then they accept the Rosh Chodesh. Then once the judgment, the Bnei Yisrael sanctify, Mishpat. Could be for judgment. The judgment starts after Klal Yisrael sanctifies the day. Tanya Idach. We have another Braita. Ki Chok L'Yisrael Hu. To set judgment for Israel, in the El Al Israel, it's much only the Jewish people are judged on Rosh Hashanah. The Umot Ta'olam Minayin. How do you know the Goyim are also judged? Talmud Lomar Mishpat Elohei Yaakov. It's judgment for God, which means God's judging on that day everybody. Because the second part of the pasuk just doesn't say who's getting judged; it just says Mishpat, which means it's judgment Elohei Yaakov for the God of Jacob, which means He's judging the whole world. So we have to say Kohok Yisrael. If the end of the pasuk is saying Mishpat Elohei Yaakov, it includes everybody. So what do you have to tell me Mishpat Kohok Yisraelu? We go in first. What's the logic? Let's say you have a king and you have the Sibur, the masses. Who goes in first? They let the king in first. Shnei Emar. Mishpat Abdo, u'mishpat Amo. Right? It says first Mishpat Abdo, the servant, that's the king, God's servant. And then it says Mishpat Amo, the people. My Ta'ama, what's the reason why not the king in first? Iba'itema, lav ora hara lemekam malka ibrai. It's not derech eres to make the king wait outside. Which means now, there's time for judgment. So everybody's in the lobby, waiting to get to the judge. What, so you're going to make the king wait? So for the king, bechavo, the king goes first. It's not right. That proper. Right. So the same thing with Abi Sayyid. Amis is considered a king compared to the Goyim. So therefore it's not proper for the Jewish people, supposed to have to be pending and waiting for their judgment. So therefore they let the Jewish people in first, they get their verdict, they get their judgment, and then they let the Goyim go in. Before the king, before the judge gets angry. Which means, if you let the king go in last, he's going to punish the king. Because he's going to get so angry with all the sibud that went in before with all the averot, so he's going to come and take it out now on the king. So we want the king to get a good judgment, right. So put him in first. So the king goes in first when, so to speak, the judge is still in a good mood, so to speak, and therefore give him a good judgment. So if the goyim are going to go in first, it's going to arouse midat hadin. Now once midat hadin is going to come in the world, then the Jewish people are going to go in. The midat hadin is going to be strong, and therefore we want to go in still when it's midat rachamim before the charonaf, before the anger sets in. So that's why it says Ki Hok Yisraelu. First the judgment is for Yisrael. Then Mishpat Elohe Yaakov. Then the rest of the Umot HaOlam go in. No. Everybody gets judged on Rosh Hashanah. It's just in the order of the day, the Jews get judged first, and then the Goyim. Comes Gemaran says now, Vilishmitin. We said that for the Shemitah, that is Aleph Tishri. What does it mean, Shemitah? The law's kicking. You can't plow, you can't plant. That starts already. Aleph Tishri, yeah? Minalan. How do you know that? Dichtiv. Because it says, Ubashana Shevi'it, Shabbat Shabbaton, Yehye La'aris. Which means it has to be a year of cessation of work. But it doesn't say Rosh Hashanah, it's Aleph Tishri. It just says in the seventh year. How do you know that's Aleph Tishri? Ve'gamar Shana Shana Mit Tishri. We have a Gezerah Shavah. It says Shana by Shemitah, and it says Shana by Tishri. How? Tichtiv. Mereshit Hashana. Didn't we quote that Pasuk above? Mereshit Hashana. Didn't we say Mereshit Hashana is Tishri? So it says the word Shana by Tishri, and it says by Shemitah, Ubashana, Hashavi'it, Shana Shana, it teaches me Aleph Tishri. Ve'ligmor Shana Shana Mit Nisan. Who told you? I got another pasuk that says the word Shana, the by the month of Nisan, Dichtiv, Rishon Hu Lachem Lechodshe HaShana, which is Nisan. Gemara says, Danin Shana, She'en Imah Chodashim, Mishana She'en Imah Chodashim. I'd rather learn a Shana to a Shana that does not talk about months.
Like we said above.
Which means by Shemitah, it just says, Ubashana Shevi'it, Shana plain. By Rosh Hashanah, what does it say? Mereshit Hashanah, plain. However, ve'en danin shana she'en imah chodashim, mishna she'yesh imah chodashim. But by Nisan it says, Rishonu lachem lechodshe Hashanah. It's discussing months in that pasuk. So I'm not going to learn from a pasuk that discusses months, chodshe shana, to a pasuk that just says shana alone. So therefore it's better to learn from shana shana to Rosh Hashanah, where there's no mention of months. So that's how you know. If somebody asks, how do you know Aleph Tishri is Rosh Hashanah for Shemitah? Because Rosh Hashanah, Shana Shana Mitishri. Comes the next Gemara. Ulyoblot. Aleph Tishri, we said, is the Rosh Hashanah for the concept of Yovel. That's the year that the slaves go free, as well as different fields return to their original owners. So the Gemara says, Yovlot Be'ehad B'Tishrihu. You're telling me that the Yovlot, the laws kick in on Aleph Tishri? Yovlot B'Yud B'Tishrihu. It's on Kippur, it's Yovel. How do you know? Dichtiv B'Yom Kippurim Ta'aviru Shofar. So it's when they would blow the shofar, that's when all the laws became active. On Kippur of the 50th year, they would blow shofar. Which means, really, there's no law to blow shofar on Kippur. That which we blow shofar on Yom Kippur at the end of the day, that's zecher, or symbolic. But in the olden days, on Yovel, every 50th, there was a hayuv min haTorah to blow the shofar. And that was the signal, like a freedom signal, for all the Abadim to then go free. So what are you telling me? Aleph Tishri? Aleph Tishri, it's really Tent Tishri is Yovel. Hamani, who's the author of our Mishnah, Rabbi Ishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yohanan ben Berokai, like we learned earlier, that according to Rabbi Ishmael, the laws of Yovel actually begin Rosh Hashanah. Netanya, because we have a Braita. Now listen to this Drashaya. V'kiddashtem et shena t'hamishim shana. It says you will sanctify the 50th year. So the Gemara says, what do you have to tell me that you're going to sanctify the 50th year? Which means already before that, the Pasuk said, Sheva Shabbatot Shanim, says you'll count
Seven cycles of seven,
meaning 49 years. And then on the Kippur of that year, you're going to blow the shofar. I know it's the 70th year. Just, can I make a simple calculation? Count 49 years. And then the following Kippur, blow shofar. What is the person have to go out of its way and say, and you will sanctify the 50th year? I know it's the 50th year. Makabud Lomar. What does it have to tell me the 50th year? So it says, Lefishine Emad, Beyom Kippurim. Because it says you blow the shofar on Kippur. I might have thought that the Yovel Kiddushav, the Yovel starts only on Kippur. To tell me the entire 50th year. Shnat Hamishim starts from the beginning, from Aleph Tishri. So therefore, the reason why it has to come and tell me Kiddushim is Shnat Hamishim. I don't know what's the 50th. You told me 49 years count, and then on Kippur, blow the shofar. You would have thought what? That the 50th year starts on Kippur, when you blow the shofar. Nah! The laws of Yovel actually begin on Aleph Tishri. The Kiddushim et Shenat Hamishim, the beginning of the 50th year. What do you mean? Do the slaves go free on the Aleph Tishri? So he says like this, Mikan amar b'shmei b'enosh Rabbi Yochanan b'roka, b'rosh Hashanah yom Kippurim, from Rosh Hashanah till Kippur, lo ayu avadim niftarim debateim. Well, the servants were in limbo. They didn't get freed yet, because they can't go free until they blow the shofar. Mm-hmm. But they don't work. Because once already Aleph Tishri comes, it's already considered Yovel. So they're in limbo. They don't get free, but they don't have to work. Because why? It's just the Kiddushim et Shenat Hamishim. Once really the Hamishim comes in, technically there's no more working for the slaves. So what do? Ela ochlim v'shotim v'smechim. They rejoice. The slaves could be for many years. And therefore now they start to eat, drink, and celebrate. And they can even put these crowns on their heads. As she says, if they want, let's say, put a certain crown on their head to show that they're going to be free, they can do that as well. Once Kippur comes, Tak'u bet din b'shofar. Bet din sounds the shofar. Niftiru avadim lebateim. So the slaves go back to their homes. They're free. V'sadot chozrot lebaalehen. And the fields go back to their original owners. So that's the opinion of our Mishnah. So again, when you read the Mishnah, it says Aleph Tishri Rosh Hashanah liyovel. That's going like Rabbi Ishmael ben Osher b'Yohanan b'Roka. That indeed says that the laws of freedom of slaves actually starts to begin on Aleph Tishri, based on the Pazuvik and Dashtim et Shenat Hamishim. That it starts from the beginning of the 50th year. Right? Because if it wouldn't have said Shenat Hamishim, I would have said
The tenth.
Because it says, when you blow the shofar, on the tenth. Because no. Shenat Hamishim, from the beginning of the 50th, you're already 10 days earlier, is going to start the laws of Yovel. Oh, the Rabbanan. What are the rabbis do? Which means, the rabbis, what do you do with that word? They say the Yovel starts on Kippur. So what do I need this pasuk? What does that teach me? Right? So it says, Shanim atam mekadesh v'yatam mekadesh chodashim. Who did Asha? Betin must sanctify the 50th year. Which means they must actually say, Mekudash Hashana. And if they don't say Mekudash Hashana, it's not Kodesh. Between the 50th, it's not an automatic. It's not a calendar item. It's a declaration of Beti. We can dashtem. So the Hiddush is, no. They have to say Mekudash Hashana. So the Hiddush is, but they don't have to sanctify Rosh Chodesh. Which means, according to this opinion, the rabbis say Rosh Chodesh is an automatic. Whether it comes bizmano, whether it doesn't come bizmano, Betin doesn't have to say Mekudash HaChodesh. So therefore, that's traduced according to the Banan. Mekudashtem, rabbis, you have to sanctify. What do you have to sanctify? Et Shenat HaHamishim. Et Shenat HaHamishim velo et Chodashim. Tanya Idach, we have another Braita. Yovel hi. Right, it calls the 50th year Yovel hi. Matkal Mudomar, what's the Hiddush when it says Yovel hi? Which means seemingly we know already it's Yovel. You already told me that it's Kodesh. Well, Lefishin Emar, because it says the Kiddushim et Shenat HaHamishim. It says already you're going to sanctify the 50th. Yachol, Keshem Shem Mitkadeshet Veholechet Mitchilata, Kach Mitkadeshet Veholechet Besofa. I would have thought, according to the Bishmael, didn't we say you add 10 days to the Yovel?
Yep.
Didn't we say Mekadeshtem et Shenat HaHamishim? even though you don't blow the shofar till Kippur, but we said
10 days.
Preempted, started from 10 days early. So I might have thought also, maybe going out of your veil, you also extend 10 days. Which you started on Rosh Hashanah, and ended the following year on Kippur. And you say, what do you mean? Why should I think you should add 10 days to your veil? Again, you started on Rosh Hashanah, correct? Did I add 10 days?
Right.
Yes. Because really you should start on Kippur. It starts at the beginning. So I would say like this. Just like you added 10 days in the beginning, maybe end 10 days on the out, on going out. Therefore, end your veil on Kippur the following year. Now, which means what? You have the, what? There's laws of your veil. Your veil is considered like a Shemitah. You don't have to plow the ground, all that. So maybe the laws start from Rosh Hashanah, and it goes all the way to the following Kippur. Don't be shocked at such a havamina. Why? That's a concept. It's a Torah concept. Don't we add, for example, to Shabbat? Don't we add extra minutes? Right, to the Kodesh? So if I want to add to the Kodesh, so if I want to add 10 more days, Talmud Lomar, Yovel hi Shenat HaHamishim Shana. HaHamishim Ata Mekadesh, V'Ata Mekadesh Shenat HaMishim V'Achat. So that's what the Pasuk says, no. Yovel hi Shenat HaHamishim. It's only the 50th that's Yovel. Once already Rosh Hashanah comes, the next year it's already the 51st.
You can't add.
Exactly. When it says Yovel hi Shenat HaHamishim, Davka Shenat HaHamishim. So going in, you added 10 days, but going out, you don't need anything. Your veil is only
50th.
The 50th year. Now, which means it's a mi'ut. Your veil, this is your veil and not something else. Meaning only your veil to the end of the year, but not the extension. Oh, so that's the opinion of who? That would be that. This is a good direction according to Bishmael. Because I would have thought you extend, because since you extended in the beginning, I might have thought that you extend on the way out. But the rabbis, they don't extend. The rabbis say it starts on 10th Tishri. So therefore, according to them, what do you need your veil? What is it coming to exclude? Which means you're starting late, you end at the end of the year. What do I need the your veil to come to exclude? Again, according to Bishmael, I know what your veil is coming to tell me. That only until Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishri is your veil. Why would I think more? You aided me 10 days in the beginning, so maybe it'd be 10 days going out. This is your veil, not that. But according to Hakamim, that you don't eat any days in the beginning. It starts on Kippur. So just like I didn't eat any days in the beginning, I'm not going to eat any days in the end. So what is your veil he coming to exclude? V'rabanan.
What are you going to do with it?
Shenat hamishim atamone. V'i'atamone shenat hamishim ve'achat. Which means like this. It's the 50th year, correct?
Yeah.
Is it also considered the first year of the next cycle?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, it is.
Which, no, it's like this. You have to start another cycle, counting 49 years, right? So how do you count the 50th? Could you count it both ways?
Oh, no.
Could I say it's the 50th for the last cycle, but it's also number one for the new cycle? So to that, Hachamim come along and say, no, Yovel hi. This year is a Yovel year, which means Shenat HaHamishim. It's only considered the 50th for Yovel, but we're not going to consider it one
for the
next cycle. Now there's a Shita that says that, but Le'apukem ed Rabbi Yehuda.
Right.
Rabbi Yehuda says, Da'amar Shenat HaMishim Ole Lekan
Ulekan.
He says, year 50, you play it both sides. You play it for year 50 for the Yovel, and year 1
for the
next cycle. Kamash Ma'lan, that what? No, Yovel he. Shenat HaMishim. Now look at the top Rashi. V'Rabbanan, V'lo Yalfi B'Vikadashtim Shetkadish B'Tchilata, that they don't learn that you have to eat any days in the beginning. V'lo Tzarechi De'Be'ute Sofa. I don't have to have a deras to the end. If you don't add any days in the beginning, of course you don't have to add any days in the end. Dar shileachi shenata hamishim atamone viatamone shenata yovel. You don't count the year of yovel as shenata hamishim lesof yovel shavar veahat leminyan yovel haba, and year one for the upcoming yovel. You don't do that. Viatamone shenata yovel haba elam meshenas shelachar yovel. You don't start counting the next cycle till the following year. הפוקם את רבי יהודה, תאמר במסכת נדרים, שנת 50 עולה לכאן ולכאן. שנת היובל ושנה ראשונה לשמיטה הבאה. You count it for 50 of this yobel, and it's actually year one for the next coming. Yobel he. Says it's only yobel. It's coming to exclude it for the upcoming years.